I had a severe cold for 3 days in Minnesota, and I still can't get over the ramifications of it fully, so it comes and goes. You know Ole and Sven? Well, you know, Karen and I come from the North Country, where that's a pretty big deal up there. And Ole was stopped by the game warden one day, and he was in northern Wisconsin fishing, and he just came plodding out, leaving the lake, and it was a lake that was well known for its walleyes. Now, walleyes are quite a fish up there. And he Ole had two buckets, one in each hand, and they were plumb full of walleye fish. And it was during the spawning season, and the game warden saw him, and he said, "Ole, do you have a license to catch those fish?" Ole replied, "No, sir, these here are my pet fish." "Pet fish," the warden replied. "Yeah, sure, you betcha," answered Ole. "Every night I take these fish down here to the lake and let them swim around for a while. Then I whistle and they jump back into their bucket and I take them home." "Ole, that's a bunch of hooey. Fish can't do that," said the game warden. Ole looked at the game warden with an expression of great hurt, and then he said, "Yumpin' yiminy. Well, then, I'll just show you, then. It really does work, don't you know?" "Okay, I've got to see this." The game warden was really curious now. So Ole poured the fish into the lake, and he stood waiting. After several minutes, the game warden turned to Ole and said, "Well?" "Well, what?" responded Ole. "When are you going to call them back?" "Call who back?" asked Ole. "The fish." "What fish?" Yumpin' yiminy. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, this morning to John chapter 15. Jerry read it for us today, already at the beginning of the service. Page 902 in your chair Bibles, page 902. We're in the second part of the series on, we started last week, Friendship with Jesus. And we've been in this series for, I don't know, almost a month and a half now, this relationship with Jesus in John 15, where he talks intimately with the disciples about abiding in him and we abiding, he abiding in us and we abiding in him. And because without him, we can't do anything. And if we think we're going to do anything in the ministry for the gospel of Jesus Christ in this world without Christ abiding in us and us abiding in him, we're sorely mistaken. We'll turn a lot of wheels. We'll expend a lot of energy. We'll do a lot of things of the flesh. But without abiding closely in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to basically waste a lot of time and effort and energy. Well, last week, we began to talk about what it is, what it looks like, the characteristics of what it means to be a friend of Jesus. Jesus said, "I no longer call you slaves or servants, but now I call you friends." And this is an elevated status. And we began to talk about those characteristics last week of being a friend of Jesus. What should we then look like as in that elevated position of being a personal friend of Jesus? Well, these are the things that I think, these characteristics that become visible when you and I are his friends and we abide in him. And we said last week, I'm just going to do a quick review, that the first characteristic of being a friend of Jesus was that you love the other friends of Jesus. As a true believer, you have love for the other believers in the kingdom of God, a love that's legitimate, a love that's deep, a love that's honest. And you might ask, well, why? Why do I need to love like that? And the answer is, it comes out of verse 12. Jesus says, because as I have loved you, then you should go and love the other friends of mine. Is that what he said? Well, yeah. Jesus says, I want you to love as I've loved you. a total self-giving, self-sacrificial type of love. The friends of Jesus love each other, and it becomes a characteristic born in your heart. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And we said last week, when we're obedient to Christ, our hearts should just naturally be full of love for the other friends of Jesus in the kingdom of God. Well, there, you got all last week's sermon in about 3 minutes. It's amazing how pastors can do that, I think, from 1 week to the next. Well, we're going to finish this today, and that was only one characteristic last week, and you're going, oh my gosh, how are we going to do this? Because there's four more today. There's a total of what I see in this scripture from verses 12 to 16, basically, five characteristics of being a friend of Jesus that should become flowing through our lives. And that was one of them, the characteristic of loving the other friends. Here's the second one this morning. The second characteristic is this: Jesus' friends know divine truth, verse 15 tells us. Look at that with me, verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Isn't that fantastic? Think about that. Everything Jesus heard from the Father, he tells us as friends. Everything that he's heard from God the Father, he tells us. You see, the servant or the slave that we were before that could never be a friend. A servant or a slave is always a tool. Go do this. Go do that. His master never told him why. Just go do that. The master didn't disclose the reasons, didn't tell him about his goals or describe his passions or talk to the slave about what the master hoped for. He just went out to the slave and said, go take care of that today. Because you're the servant. And it was supposed to be blind obedience, we might say. But here comes Jesus. And he suddenly says on this last night of the eve before he's going to be crucified at the Passover meal, he says to the 11, this is what my passion is. And this is what I'm going to accomplish. And you see, we who are friends of Jesus are not blindly obeying. We're in on the details. Everything that God the Father told Jesus, Jesus tells us. And we have his word to prove that. We share his heart because he shares his heart with us. And we know his plans. And we know his motives. And we know his purposes. We're not working to earn something like a slave who just works to earn some money to keep it, but they just serve, not us, not friends. Our passion is the passion of Jesus Christ. We want what he wants accomplished. And so we're not working to earn something. We're working to, because it's our heart desire to do it, to please our biggest friend, Jesus Christ. Because we know the whole plan from beginning to end, and because Jesus is our friend. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 says this about knowing this divine truth. He says in John 8:31, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And then he says this in verse 32 about true disciples. And you will know the truth. Why? Because you're truly my disciples. You will know the divine truth. We have an inside scoop as friends of Jesus on divine truth. John chapter 17, verses 6 to 8, Jesus said, I've manifested your name to the people who you gave me out of the world. Talking about his friends, the disciples. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know everything that you have given me is from you. For I've given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. What's Jesus saying there? He's saying, Father, everything you told me, I've passed on to them. They know divine truth because I've revealed to them everything that you have revealed to me. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 and 11, it says concerning the parables that Jesus spoke to the disciples. The disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered to them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." You might say, "Well, hey, Rich, anybody can go out and buy a Bible and read it and understand it." Not so. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us that the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. They cannot discern the spiritual things as a natural man. It's only by the indwelling Holy Spirit and the Word of God that we can know divine truth. And as friends of Jesus, we know things that no one else knows. No one else knows. You see, to those he calls friends, he discloses his inmost heart's desire. He told the disciples in Luke, "Prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." Listen, all the philosophers, all the scientists in the world are lost in the woods compared to the simplest Christian who's been exposed to the revelation of the Word of God in truth and spirit. Everyone else is lost compared to that revelation. Jesus never expected his disciples to be blindly obeying. They were his friends. They were intimate. They were elevated. They were acquainted with his heart's desires. They knew all about his work and his mission. And it's a privilege. Listen, it's a privilege for you and I to have Jesus living his life through us, revealing his plans and his purposes to us, his friends. So the friends of Jesus not only love each other, but they also know divine truth because Jesus reveals it to us. Here's the third characteristic about being a friend of Jesus. Jesus' friends are especially chosen. They're especially chosen. I get this from verse 16 and verse 19. Jesus says in verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go, that you should go, that you should go." Did you get that? That you should go. "I've chosen and appointed you that you should go." Jesus is talking here about salvation. "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Verse 19 says, "I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." This is a doctrine in theology called the doctrine of election. Jesus has chosen certain ones to be his friends, and he has chosen them, he says, out of the world. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul tells us he did that before the foundation of the world. Those who know Jesus Christ have come to understand, I think, what being chosen is all about. Salvation in Christ is a very blessed, very fantastic thing. It's the free gift of God, the scripture tells us, unto all who will believe. There's no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved, Jesus Christ. It's by grace that you're saved through faith, which is not of yourselves. It's the free gift of God. And Jesus says here, "I'm the one who started that whole process. I engaged you first before you ever thought about me. I chose you," he says here in John 15, verse 16, "to be my friend out of the world." Jesus always makes the first move towards us. Now, I know, some people get really hung up on this thing. Some people really get angry about it. I've met all kinds of people who just go ballistic over this doctrine of election. But I'll guarantee you, study the doctrine. Study the doctrine of election and let the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, determine your understanding of how salvation happens, how it begins, when it begins, and who does what in it. And I believe scripturally, and someday I'm going to preach on this doctrine, but it's a long ways down the road. I believe it's very clear in the scripture that God makes all the moves. And we are called to respond to God's movement in salvation. We're called to respond to the fact that when our heart is convicted, when our heart awakens to God's movements in our lives towards us who are sinners, when Christ died for us, that then we're called to move and respond to his salvation. Choosing is about salvation here. But there's another word here in verse 16 I want to draw your attention to. I don't want you to miss. And the word is appointed, or in some translations, ordained. Jesus said, you did not choose me in verse 16, but I chose you and I appointed you or ordained you that you should go and bear fruit. Now listen, God has saved you. He's called you his friend, and he has appointed or ordained you to go. He's appointed you for special service. It's a very, very important word, this word appointed, that introduces a very important concept. The word appointed implies the idea of faithful service. I've ordained you, he's telling the 11, to a special service. Jesus' friends are specially chosen for salvation and then appointed that we should go. No Christian was ever chosen to stand still, to stop, or to stand on the sidelines and watch. Jesus said the kingdom of God is all about going. Are you going? Go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in, he said. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus told the 11 and us, go into the outer regions, to Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem and the outer regions of the earth. Go be my witnesses. Get out there and reach the world. Go. You've been chosen. You've been appointed. Go. My friend, this morning sitting here, you've been appointed. You've been chosen out of the world for salvation, and out of that salvation, you've been appointed by God to then, therefore, go into the world and proclaim the gospel. So often I think we pray, and I find myself praying this, oh God, would you open the doors of this church to the community, and would you gather them in? And the whole time he's saying, why don't you get your butt out there and bring them in. Compel them. Go compel them to come in. Go talk to someone and compel them to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and become a friend of Jesus. You see, every believer has been chosen or ordained to special service, and we're sent back into the world again to communicate Jesus Christ. And this is to be a perpetual motion in the life of the friend of Jesus. We're not called to sit and be idled. We're called to go. We do that because we've been especially chosen. We love each other. We know divine truth. And the third characteristic, we're specially chosen out of the world for salvation and appointed for ordained service. You know, there are many ways you can go, don't you? You don't have to be Billy Graham the evangelist, and you don't have to be Rich Hubert the preacher. You can go in many ways, and many of you do go in many different ways. You're befriending your next door neighbor and having them over for a cup of coffee is going. You're greeting the cashier at Santa Rosa's or Izzy's and saying, Dios te bendiga, God bless you, is going in a certain form. The mundane littlest thing, when you give away a financial gift to help someone in need, is going. By the way, there's a man going around San Carlos. I'm going to do a side note here. There's a man going around San Carlos. He's a great, big, huge man. He's using me. Don't give him any money. His name is Jesus. He claims he has a son who needs dialysis. He's been doing this for two or three years at least. He's not above board. That's all I'm going to say about that. Be on the lookout for him. Somebody told me today that he knocked on their door yesterday. But going happens in many different ways. Sometimes when someone comes to your door, God says, give them some money. Give them some money. You're going when you do that. Whatever. So loving the other disciples, knowing the divine truth that God reveals to us through Jesus because Jesus has told us about it, and being especially chosen, appointed to go. Here's the fourth characteristic that friends of Jesus look like. Jesus' friends bear remaining fruit, verse 16. They bear remaining fruit, the latter part of verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go, and here it comes, and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, or remain means the same word, abide, remain. That your fruit should remain, abide. One of the things about the Christian life is that it's purposeful. Do you realize that when you go out and communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody and they receive Christ, that you've been involved in an eternal transaction? It's pretty cool. Just look at a life apart from Christ. It's empty. It kind of dwindles away. Just watch it day after day. There's no meaning. There's no effect. There's no purpose. There's no long-term fulfillment. Then you compare that to the life of a believer who has purpose and meaning, a friend of Jesus, who bears fruit that's eternal, and what a fantastic realization that is. It's an eternal transaction with when you interact with someone who eventually accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and becomes born again into the kingdom of God. And that has an eternal effect that goes on and on. It's like, I don't know if you were a kid, I did this a lot. I'd pick up a rock and I'd throw it into the pond. And when you throw the rock into the pond, the ripples continue on and on and on after the rock has long disappeared. Well, that's kind of what happens in an eternal transaction. When someone receives Christ because of your testimony, because of your going, only the ripples don't quit there in an eternal transaction. They go on and on and on for eternity. You bear fruit that remains forever and ever. I tell you, that's exciting. A wonderful promise that you will bear fruit that remains. And you say, well, Rich, what's fruit? Well, remember we talked about that a few weeks ago. Let me just remind you. What's fruit? Fruit is Christ's likeness that's inside of you. It's a confession of praise that comes out of your mouth and your heart. It's the contribution of love and generosity towards others. It's your conduct in general, in your good works as you live in this life that flows out of your abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. All of that is fruit. And fruit are those things that affect people's lives forever and ever. Listen, as a friend of Jesus, you have eternal consequence attached to your life. Think about that. You have, as a friend of Jesus, eternal consequence that is attached to your life. You affect eternity by the way you bear fruit in the kingdom of God. You might say, well, Rich, I've never led anyone to Christ. That doesn't mean you never bore eternal fruit. Some sow and some reap. We learned that weeks ago from the scripture as well. If you've loved someone when they needed it most, you affected someone in an eternal transaction. If you encouraged someone and held their hand as they walked through a sorrow or the pain of death, listen, that's fruit bearing. That's fruit bearing in your life. If any of those people came to saving faith that you've touched in Christ, listen, you are part and parcel to their salvation. You may have been one tiny dot and only one dot in the landscape of it all, but listen, you were part of that eternal transaction, and you were part of that ripple in the eternal pond of that soul's life. Your fruit bearing is born forever and ever through the conversion of that person's soul. Do you know that, what that means? What that means is that you're so much more significant than you may be giving yourself credit for. Listen, God looks at you, and he looks at me, and God says to you, that a girl, way to go, way to go, way to be a fruit bearer that remains. And God looks at that guy and he says, that a boy, way to encourage that brother all the way to Jesus Christ. God looks at you and says, you have eternal consequence that's attached to your life. Do you know what it also means? It also means that you need to stop being tricked. And you need to stop being duped into the dump of despair by Satan, because Satan's always whispering in your ear, you don't count for anything. You don't really matter in this world. You don't have any consequences. Your life means absolutely nothing. And you need to just say to him, listen, I am a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, and I do count for something. Satan, get behind me. You're a liar and a deceiver and a thief. Stand up, friend of Jesus. Stand up, fruit bearer. Stand up, the loved one of Jesus who's commanded to love others. Stand up, one who knows divine truth because Jesus has revealed it to you. Stand up and be counted as the most significant in God's eyes. You matter to him, and that's all that matters. You matter to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of heaven. Amen? Listen, if you're going to live a fruit-bearing life, you have to believe the truth about what God says about your life. And many of us waver at this point. We don't believe the truth, even though the Word of God, the divine truth, says who we are. What does the divine truth say? The divine truth says that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. You are a fruit-bearing believer, a fruit-bearing friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a fruit-bearing creation. Why should you go and witness and bear fruit? Because it's an eternal transaction. And on top of that, it brings such tremendous joy to your soul when you do that. When you see the finished product and the change for Christ in that person's life, that fruit goes on forever and ever. Amen. Well, here it is, number five, the last one. The fifth characteristic of what a friend of Jesus looks like on the inside. Friends not only love each other, friends not only experience divine truth and are especially chosen out of the world and bear remaining fruit, but fifthly, friends of Jesus have their prayers answered. And this is so powerful, and we've already talked about this a few weeks ago, so I'm not going to spend much time on it. Look at the end of verse 16. After having said that, all of that about being chosen out of the world and appointed to go, he says this, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? A true friend of Jesus has his or her prayers answered. Now, we've talked about this. It simply means to say to God, Father, I'm asking this because it's what Jesus desires. This is what Jesus would want, Father, and I'm asking it because your Son Jesus desires that. And when we ask according to the desire of Jesus, because Jesus desires it, he'll give it to us. He'll answer our prayers. This is selflessness on our part. You're not praying and asking God to satisfy your own desires and your own lusts, but because it's the desire of Jesus. And when you ask according to the desire of Jesus, the Father always grants the Son's desires, and he'll grant you, his friends, your desires as well when they're Jesus' desires. Are you with me? hang in here. Man, this is really important. It's so good. It's so good. But I think we don't understand it sometimes. And we read that and say, well, if you ask in Jesus' name, he'll give you what you ask. And we go, yeah. I've heard that 1,000 times and I haven't gotten it. Well, you haven't gotten it because you're not asking according to the desire of the Son. You're asking according to your own desire. Jesus, Father, I'm asking because Jesus desires this. Jesus desires that they come in off of the highways and the byways of life. And Jesus desires that we go out and compel them to come in. And I'm asking for their salvation, Father, because Jesus desires their salvation. And God, that neighbor who's living next to me who doesn't know you, I'm asking for her salvation because Jesus desires her salvation, Father. Would you give her salvation in Jesus' name? You understand? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Friends of Jesus have their prayers answered. So here they are. I'm going to do a wrap up here. Here are the characteristics as a friend of Jesus that should be growing inside of your heart, that you love each other in the body of Christ. You know divine truth because you're reading and studying the Word of God. You have a special calling apart from the world. You're chosen out of the world because you've been saved because of the graciousness of God. And you're sent back out into the world. And you're bearing remaining fruit that's an eternal transaction that goes on and on and on forever and ever. And you're having your prayers answered when you pray in the will and the desire of Jesus. That's what it means to be a friend of Jesus Christ. You're my friends if you do what I command you, Jesus told the 11. Now, let me add this, and this is the key thing this morning. Hang in there with me. We're almost done, but don't tune me out yet. This is the key thing. These are all characteristics of who? They're all characteristics of Jesus first. And because they're characteristics of Jesus, and because you're abiding in him, the vine, and you're the branch, and you're remaining as closest to him as possible, those characteristics of Jesus are becoming your characteristics inside of your heart. They're changing you. These are all yours by your position in Christ. But the New Testament takes it even a step farther, I believe, and it encourages you and I to really operate within these principles of these 5 characteristics. The true friends of Jesus really love each other, yes. Yet the Bible says we must love each other fervently, which pushes us to the extreme. True friends of Jesus know divine truth. Yet the Bible says in the New Testament, we must study the Word of God to show yourself approved unto God, rightly handling the Word of truth. The true friend of Jesus has been called out of this world, yet the Bible says we're to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that we have received, which is such a high, high calling. And a true friend of Jesus bears eternal fruit, yet the Bible says we're to seek to bear more fruit in response to the work of the Father in us. And the friend of Jesus prays. And the friend of Jesus prays and has their prayer answered, yet the Bible says we are to pray fervently and not give up, to pray without ceasing at all. Don't give up, don't stop praying, the New Testament tells us. You see, every one of these truths is positional in nature. We are given that in Jesus Christ by our salvation. Yet, at the same time, we're called to practically implement them in our daily walk in this world as a friend of Jesus Christ. The resources are all yours if you're Jesus' friends. They're all yours. They all belong to you positionally. But you're called as a believer to practically implement them in daily living as you walk on the face of this earth and interact with people. Now, you might say to me, well, what about those who aren't Jesus' friends? Well, Jesus said, those who are not for me are against me. If you're not with Jesus, he's not with you. But listen, are you searching for love? Are you searching for truth? Are you longing for purpose and meaning in your life? Are you looking for supernatural resources to meet all your needs? Then very simply I say to you, become a friend of Jesus right now. Just turn your heart and your life over to him. Take that steering wheel which represents your life and say, here, Jesus, it's your steering wheel from now on. My life belongs to you. And I guarantee you, he'll take it and he'll do a better job with your life of steering and driving your life than you could ever possibly do yourself. Hand it off. Become a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's waiting for you to accept what he willingly offers you. You might say, well, I thought Jesus chose his own friends. He does. He does. And if he's speaking to you right now in your heart, you need to listen and respond to his choosing in your life. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the fact that your love is an eternal love that knows no end. And I thank you today that you call us to make a choice. Joshua said it in the Old Testament, choose you this day who you're going to serve. As for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. God, if there's someone here this morning that needs to make that choice on who they're serving, I pray you'd help them to choose you today. Help them to understand that if you're speaking to them in their life right now, you're already chosen them. They need to respond. God, help them to respond. Give them the faith to believe you. Help them to experience the grace that you're waiting to pour all over their lives, the free gift of salvation. And Father, for those of us who do know you, help us to be better friends of you, Jesus. Let these characteristics that we've talked about in these last 2 weeks just grow and grow and grow in abundance inside of us. That all who see us may know that we serve the one true God, world without end. Amen and amen.